We come now in just a moment to our Bible reading. So let me lead us in a prayer as we turn to God's word. Father God, we thank you that we can gather this morning and we have the opportunity now to listen to your word read and preached to us. So Father, as we join the angels and the shepherds, we pray asking for the help of your Holy Spirit, that we would not only understand what is going on, but that we would rejoice in this good news. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Julia. Is Julia here? Julia is here.
And the reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And you'll find that on page 1027. That's Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20, page 1027. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
To keep the passage open in front of you there in Luke 2. So I'm a bit overwhelmed by fairies up here. Right. I think many of us look at the world today and we feel a sense of great hopelessness, a sense that all the news is bad, and that there's very little prospect of anything improving. Wars, religious extremism, climate change, uncertain economics, constantly in the news. Around the world, politics seems mired in sleaze and broken promises. And if we look at the church to help, we just seem to find scandals and cover-ups. And every day on our news feeds, on the media, in the newspapers, we're reminded of these things. But they stay with us, don't they? They keep us awake at night. They rob us of hope for a secure and better future. Now, as we read the Bible, we should remember that life was very, very hard and rough in first century Palestine. Many Jews were subsistence farmers trying to scratch out a living and make ends meet from a small parcel of land. Taxes were high, and the country was run for the benefit of the occupying Romans and for those willing to collaborate with them. And it was 400 years since Israel's God had sent a prophet to his people to give them direction or hope. And like our day, first century Palestine was a time of hopelessness. But into that dark time came a sudden and unexpected message of new hope. A message which has since brought hope to millions of people down through the centuries and right across the world. Hope that life really does have meaning, and hope that there is really a better future. And this morning, I want to talk to you about this message. One night outside the small town of Bethlehem, shepherds were keeping watch over their sheep. It would probably have been cold, and the rough scrub on the hillside provided little cover. Perhaps they were sitting around a fire talking. Suddenly, the whole hillside was ablaze with light. Look with me at verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And notice the first thing the angel said to the shepherds in verse 10. Don't be afraid. Why did the angel say that? Because in the Old Testament, nobody sees God and lives. And there on the hillside, the glory of the Lord was shining around them. And if God is there, you expect to die. But this revelation of God's glory and this angel had not come in judgment. The angel had come with a message of great joy and hope. Verse 10, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God. A multitude of angels, a vast number, and they were all singing. You would think one or two of them might have gone to give Mary and Joseph a hand, mightn't you? Taken some hot water or a decent bed or a proper cot for the baby. But there they were, up above the hillside, singing to the shepherds. They were so happy, they had to break out of heaven and sing to somebody. And they sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. And notice the angel said this good news of great joy was not just for the shepherds. It was good news that will be for all the people. Now it's true that initially the message was for the people of Israel, but this was always a message that was intended to spread, and to spread worldwide. And in the fullness of time, people in all centuries and all countries would find this message to be good news for them. It is good news for every type of person. Poor and rich, young and old, good-looking and plain, professors and uneducated. What did the angel say? The good news is for all the people. And this means it is good news for you, and it is good news for me. Good news for all of us here in church this morning in 2024. Well, what then was the content of the good news the angel brought? Well, the angel's news was that a baby had been born. Look with me there at verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. The good news wasn't of some new religious idea or some teaching of some medical breakthrough. It wasn't news of a new tech or a new philosophy. The good news was that a baby had been born, that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem. And this morning we'll look at why the birth of Jesus was new hope for the world, and then we will look at how we should respond to this hope. Now the angel gave the shepherds three reasons why the birth of Jesus was good news of great joy for all the people. And the three reasons are contained in the names the angel gave the baby. I don't know whether you noticed them there. Saviour, Christ, and Lord. There they are in verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Please keep that verse in front of you as we think about those three names. First name, Saviour. Now a Saviour is somebody who rescues from danger. Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem that night, had entered our world on a spiritual rescue mission. A spiritual rescue mission was needed because humanity's relationship with God had thoroughly broken down. Think of the terror for a moment that the shepherds felt when the glory of the Lord shone around them and they realized they were in the presence of God. As Jews, they knew that no one could stand before God and live. Why? Because God is pure and holy and people aren't. Throughout Jewish history, impure, unholy people were always consumed and destroyed in the presence of God, just as twigs thrown into a furnace are consumed by a fire. And you know, if you or I had been on that hillside with the shepherds, we would have felt the same terror. We would have had the same sense of our own impurity, the same sense of our lack of holiness before a pure and holy God. And I reckon in our hearts we all know that we're not the people that we should be. We don't meet the standards that God wants for us. That's what the Bible calls sin. Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem that night, came into the world to reconcile men and women to God. And despite our impurity and lack of holiness, despite our sin, Jesus can and does reconcile us to God. He gives forgiveness of sins, a fresh start, and the power to live a new life. If you want to know more, talk to Andy after the service, or come along. Keep coming. Read your Bible. And so, just like the shepherds, we need to hear that message of hope from the angel. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. Second name, Christ. The title Christ means Messiah or Anointed One. It's not just Jesus' surname. It means God's chosen King. Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem that night, had entered our world to be God's King. God's King who would form a people from all nations and centuries into a new people of God. You see, Christianity is not an individual thing primarily. It's not just about me and God. There is what we could call a life together, a sort of corporate dimension as well. That when I become a true Christian, I become part of God's worldwide kingdom people, part of his church. And as the anointed king, Jesus has the authority to make people citizens of heaven, citizens of his kingdom, and to pour out his blessings on them. And as the anointed king, Jesus has the authority to keep his people safe as they negotiate the hazards and difficulties of life, to keep them going in the Christian life. And as the anointed king, Jesus now rules over the world for the sake of his people, until he triumphs over all his enemies and brings in the new heavens and earth, cleansed of all evil, the age of gold that we were just singing about in the carol. Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem that night, came into the world to be God's anointed king, with the authority and the power to give people like us membership of the kingdom of God and a share in all its benefits. And so again, with the shepherds, we need to hear the message of hope from the angel. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ. Third name, Lord. The name Lord speaks of divinity. It speaks of God. It is the name of Israel's God, and it tells us Jesus is truly God. No mere man could accomplish the work Jesus had come to do. A human Savior would have been too weak, too fallible, too easily corrupted by power and wealth. No mere man would have been able to carry the punishment of the world's sin to a cross and reconcile God to men. Some 700 years before the angel appeared to the shepherd, Israel's prophet Isaiah had foretold the supernatural, dogged, stubborn endurance Jesus would display on this rescue mission. This is what Isaiah said about Jesus. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. The salvation Jesus brought wasn't founded on the strength of a mere man. His salvation was founded on the fact that the baby born in Bethlehem was both truly human and truly God. Two natures in one person. Jesus is the strong Son of God himself. And because he is both man and God, we can trust him with it to accomplish his promise of salvation for us. And so again, with the shepherds, we need to hear the message of hope from the angel. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. Now, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. There are three wonders here. First, God became man. Second, the angels appeared to the shepherds. And third, the shepherds believed. I'm not sure I would have believed. I reckon I might have assumed there was something funny in the stew we'd eaten that night, or that I was going down with a virus and hallucinating. But the shepherds believed, and they hurried off to find the baby Jesus. Bethlehem was probably about half an hour away. We're not told whether God guided them supernaturally to Jesus or whether they went from house to house, knocking everybody up, looking for him. But they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. What is more vulnerable and defenseless than a newborn baby? And yet this baby will overcome all the opposition of men and hell to save us. And in this baby is found all our hope. All our futures are bound up with him and what he will achieve. And then we read in verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word about what had been told them about this child. And then in verse 20, it was back to work, back to the sheep. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So, we have seen why the birth of Jesus was new hope for the world. And now we need to consider how we should respond to this hope. Luke sets before us three responses in this passage. The response of the shepherds, the response of the people in Bethlehem who heard the shepherds' report, and the response of Mary. So, first, the shepherds' response. Notice the shepherds responded with faith. Look with me at verse 12. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They believed what they were told and acted on it. Notice also the shepherds responded immediately. Look with me at verse 16. So they hurried off. There was no delay. They didn't decide to try and find the baby when they were next in Bethlehem for the market or when they'd sold their sheep and had a bit of free time. Their response was immediate. Notice also the shepherds passed the message on. Verse 17, when they had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. What they have seen and heard, they report. The angels have returned to heaven, but their testimony is not forgotten. The shepherds proclaim it. They pass it on. And verse 18, all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So how do we apply this to ourselves? Are we to rush off to Heathrow, get on planes and fly to Bethlehem? No. But like the shepherds, we are to believe these events took place. And we are to believe the angel's message about Jesus was true. We are to doubt nothing. We are to entrust ourselves to this Saviour, God's anointed King, the Son of God himself. We must be like the shepherds, responding with faith to the angel's message. Some of us may need to learn from the immediate response of the shepherds. We've heard the message of Jesus numerous times, perhaps. We've understood it and we know what we need to do, but we've delayed responding. Maybe we think there's plenty of time to be reconciled to God another day. But none of us know what tomorrow may bring. We don't know whether there will be time another day. So let's be like those shepherds and respond immediately while there is still time. Some of us may also need to learn from the way the shepherds pass the message on. Maybe people around us just don't know that we're Christians. Maybe there are people we know who need to hear this message for themselves. And what the shepherds saw and heard, they reported. Do we need to be more like that? But you know, Luke also wants us to learn something from the response of the people who heard the shepherds' report and the response of Mary. Look at verses 18 and 19 again. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Do you notice the contrast that Luke is using to make his point? Luke is saying that some people who heard the shepherds' report responded to the message of Jesus' birth with amazement. But the right response to have, the example to follow, is that of Mary. You see, amazement is different from treasuring up in your heart. Amazement is different from pondering in your heart. Mary reflected on and thought about the angel's message in a way the other hearers didn't. The shepherd's report tickled the crowd's ears, but in some way it seems to have missed their hearts. It was Mary who really thought through what she heard. And you see, Christmas can be a dangerous time for us. We can read the Christmas story, we can listen to Christmas sermons, we can go to church and we can sing the carols and be amazed and caught up in the wonder of it all. But friends, amazement isn't enough. Amazement cannot reconcile us to God. Amazement cannot give us a solid hope for the future. We need to go further than amazement. So this Christmas, will you and I go further than amazement? Will we treasure up the facts of the Christmas story? Like Mary, will we ponder the angel's message in our hearts? Will we seriously think through who Jesus was and what he came to do? Was he, as some say, a fairy tale, a moral teacher, a guru, or a prophet? Or was he, as the angel declared, the Saviour of the world, Christ the Lord? And will we think through the implications this message has for us? Will we put some effort into it? Will we read on in the Bible, in Luke's Gospel? Will we come regularly and listen to the preaching of God's Word? Will we talk to our Christian friends or join a Christianity Explored course or something of that sort? Will we pray and ask God to help us understand? When we know that we are afraid to die and to face the God who made us and to whom we must give an account, will we ponder on the glory of this baby who was Saviour, Christ and Lord? This baby who came not to judge us, but to save us. This baby who came to reconcile us to God, to rescue us from sin and death, from guilt and judgment, from conscience and from hell. You know, it's essential that we think these things through, because the Bible says that apart from this baby, we are utterly without hope. Amazement just isn't enough. May we all this Christmas know the solid hope of being reconciled to God by believing the angel's message and entrusting ourselves to Jesus, the strong Son of God, God's anointed King, the Saviour of all the people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to understand your word, to really grasp the Christmas story, to ponder it in our hearts. Give us the faith we need that we might embrace it and that you might change us through what we know of it. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.